Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries daily worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the Marengo, Illinois preacher story. Right after this. Well, some years ago, I was in Marengo, Illinois, conducting a class, pretty good size one, tax and status, probably 60, 70 people in attendance. It's a one-week school where we deal with the income tax. The United States of America has an income tax, which just happens to coincide with the second plank to the Communist Manifesto, which calls for a heavy, progressive income tax. That's a counterfeit of tithing. And it's tied into the fifth plank of the Communist Manifesto, which calls for a central bank to issue commercial paper or unjust weights and balances. So this fifth plank violates Thou Shalt Not Steal, one of the Ten Commandments, and Leviticus 19, 35 and 36. Now that's the main thrust of our tax and status school. So we talk about income tax and how it impacts upon people, and there's 46 lessons in the school, and it takes about a week to put it on, and so I happen to be up in Marengo, Illinois, delivering that series of lectures. Well, on the first day, the very first break, which occurs about 10 o'clock in the morning, We start at 9, and then, you know, at 10 or 10:30, we take a break, and then noon, we take a break for lunch, and we took our break so that the boys and girls could go out and go potty, smoke a cigarette, get a drink of water, and so on. And while I was up at the podium, before I could get out to go potty and do all these things, several students came up, and they wanted to talk, and they started asking questions. We had talked about the ten planks to the Communist Manifesto and the civil law versus the common law, and then 7243 and 7302, you know, of the Title 26 in the U.S. Code. You know, we'd covered some of those lessons. There's 46 of them, and so first hour or two, we'd covered, you know, probably four, five, six lessons. And while they were talking to me, there was a preacher sitting there at the front table with his wife. And then I noticed that they didn't get up to take their break. And while these people were asking me questions here, I noticed that he had his tape recorder on. Now, this is back in 1984, I think it was, 84, 85, something like that. And so he had his tape recorder on. It was one of these big boombox types, you know, one of these great big long radios, you know, with a speaker at each end, like they used to have in the olden days. And I noticed that it was on, and it was running, it was plugged into the wall, and he was taping this, and I presumed that he wanted to tape record these questions and answers for his own information. And as I was talking to these people, he interrupted one of the students, and he said, "You are causing all of these people to lose their salvation." Did you get those words? Let me repeat that. And this preacher, he turns out he was a Baptist preacher sitting there with his wife. And he had paid his tuition. He was going to school just like everybody else. But in the first hour or hour and a half, about hour and a half, I had offended this guy to some degree because he said, "You are causing all of these people to lose their salvation." Now, I'm sure he was sincere. I'm not deriding this guy at all. I'm sure that he believed every word of that. the thing that surprised me was that I'm not a preacher, and I'm not here to tell people to give their hearts to Jesus or go to church or to practice this or that or something else. As a law school instructor, my job is to tell you how the law works. That's where the bottom line is. And so by telling you how the law works, then you can decide, well, how do you want to apply that in your life? You know, if you don't want to practice the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, pay the income tax and Social Security, you can drop out anytime you want. There are some things you have to do so that you don't go to jail. You know, you don't want to evade your taxes or fail to file the tax returns. But it came to my attention some years ago that the income tax was on income. And so what would happen if you were to live your life and not have any more income? I know it's kind of a wild idea, but there was a time here in America when people lived their lives without income. Now today everybody has income. Well, everybody that has income should pay the income tax. I don't deny that. I think everybody that has property should pay the property tax, and everybody that has inheritance should pay the inheritance tax and so on. But what would happen if you never had any inheritance? Then you wouldn't owe any inheritance tax. And if you never owned any property, you wouldn't owe any property tax. And if you didn't have any income, you wouldn't owe any income tax. And so my thinking on the matter was fairly simple. You know, if I don't want to pay this income tax, I should stop having income. So I did. I stopped having income. And then people asked me, well, how do you live? And I told them, very well, thank you. So in case you're wondering, how do I live without income? The answer is, I live very well. Now, this preacher up here wasn't taking exception now with what we were discussing in class. He was taking exception with what I told them about the Ten Commandments, because I had said very plainly that there's two models out here that we're practicing. In this country, before we had an income tax, we practiced the Ten Commandment model. And now we're practicing the Ten Planks to the Communist Manifesto model, and now we've got an income tax. If you want to quit paying the income tax, then you quit the Ten Plank model, and you go back to the Ten Commandment model. Seems pretty straightforward to me. But I guess this preacher, you know, he'd been educated. He had a degree from college, and he's probably confused. And so when he said these magic words, he said, you are teaching these people to lose their salvation. And I said, how's that? And he said, you're teaching these people to go back and practice the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments have been abolished and nailed to the cross with Jesus and taken out of the way. We're under grace. We're not under the law. If these people go back to practicing the law, they're going to lose grace. They're going to lose their salvation, and they will go to hell. That's a Baptist. Now, I don't know if that's the thinking of the Baptist church or if that's just the thinking of this one Baptist. I don't know. And I don't know what 14 million Baptists believe, and I don't know what their church teaches. I'm just reporting to you what this one Baptist preacher said to me. So I said, I take it then that you think that the Ten Commandments are pretty bad. And he said, yes, absolutely. That's why they were a schoolmaster and taken out of the way. The law works against us. What we want is grace, not law. Those are his words, not mine. I'm just repeating to you. And again, I presume that the guy is pretty sincere, and he really believes that, and he really means it. And I said, well, okay, I hear you. I mean, after all, you know, you're a student here. You paid your money. Now, let's test this and see where we disagree. It's my position that the Ten Commandments are holy, righteous, just, and good, and that we ought to practice them, and that the income tax is just one of the penalties that we're paying for the violation of this law. That's my position. And I think the Ten Commandments are in full force and effect, and that they ought to be practiced every day by everybody, all the time. And that includes all of the ancillary statutes that come out of the Ten Commandments. You know, not only thou shalt not steal, but you shall not have an unjust weight or balance in your bag, and so on. And I said, now there's 759 of these statutes, judgments, and commandments. 759 of them. Now, I get corrected every once in a while. People say, oh, no, Mr. Gordon, it's 613. Well, now, let me digress here for a moment. Let me take that one on. I come to you and I say, I went through the Bible. There's 1,189 chapters, about 780,000 words in the Scriptures, last time I saw a number. Now, I didn't count all of the words in the Bible, but there's around, you know, 775,000. But I did count the chapters. There's 1,189 chapters. There's 66 books. I went through and I code-pled those out, and I wrote a book over here which is called the Mosaic Law. And I found 759 of those laws in the Scripture. Now, I could be wrong about 759. There could be 760, and I missed one. There could be 770 and I missed 11. There could be 845 and I missed a bunch more. But I'll guarantee you there's more than 613. Now, I don't deny that there's 613 there. Because I found 613 and then some more. I would contend that I think the Jews missed a few. Now, that's just my observation. I'm here to take issue with you Jews out there. But I'm corrected quite often. People will say to me, no, there's 613. And I always ask these people, have you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, every word? And I haven't found anybody that's ever done that yet. So I point out to them, well, I have. I did that. Did you code plead the Scripture? And then did you identify every statute, every judgment, and every commandment in the Bible? And did you diagram those out for yourself on a piece of paper? And I have yet to find anybody who's ever done that. And I tell them, I say, well, I've done that. I did that, just exactly that. I found 759. And when I wrote that book, I put all 759 of them, and I put them in there in alphabetical order. It starts with Aaronic priests and ends with work. So I just wanted to point out, I'm no righteous Rosie. I don't go to church. And I'm not a bishop, and I'm not a cardinal, and I'm not a priest or a prophet or a pope, but I can identify 759 laws in the Scripture. So with that digression out of the way, I turned to the whiteboard behind me, and I wrote on the board 759, and I said to him, there's 759 laws in the Bible. And it's my position that all of these laws, all of these statutes, all of these rules, regulations, customs, usages, and practices are still in full force and effect today in the same way that they were when Jesus was here and Moses was here and Elijah was here. Now, that's my position. Now, I understand that your position is that when Jesus died, he took the Ten Commandments, the 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments out of the law. They've been abolished. They've been repealed like prohibition. He said, that's what we believe. I said, okay. Well, that's just about as clear-cut and opposite as you can get. The Baptist preacher says the Ten Commandments and all of the statutes and all the judgments that came from Moses and Elijah and everybody in the Old Testament has been repealed. And you can take that to the bank, because I got it from a preacher who'd been to seminary and had letters after his name. So I want to point out to you, I haven't been to seminary and I don't have any letters after my name. But I don't believe that. I'm fully familiar with a lot of people that teach it, and a lot of people believe it and practice that and all. But I went up to the board and I wrote 759. I said, now let's test this and see if you really believe this. I said, now, you've heard it said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. And he nodded his head in approval. And I looked at the, now that this argument is going on here, the audience grew from the six or eight that were there originally now to about 20. Now, there's only about 60 or 80 maybe in the whole class. I don't remember. There was a big class. There was a bunch of people. But, you know, we got about a fourth of the class there now. And, I mean, they're just, you know, standing three deep around the podium there, around the board, listening to this argument here. And so I wrote the 759 and said, "Now you have heard it said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery." He nodded in agreement. All these people are sitting there nodding their heads up and down. "Yeah, yeah, we've heard that. Yeah, yeah." And then I said, "Now I want to take your wife home tonight and sleep with her. Can you tell me what's wrong with that?" "Well, you know, if anything." Now, boys and girls, you know, for those of you that aren't religious, that's about the worst thing you can say to a Christian, is that you want to take his wife home and sleep with her. I mean, the poor woman was embarrassed to tears. And he was shocked right out of his gourd. I mean, if that guy had had false teeth, they would have fallen out on the table. Thank God he didn't have false teeth. Now he thought about that. He was just stony cold silent for a full 10 or 15 seconds. I mean, it just dropped like a bombshell. "Well, I want to take your wife home and sleep with her tonight. Can you tell me what's wrong with that?" Now, under his theory, that law has been abolished and nailed to the cross with Jesus, and there shouldn't be anything wrong with me sleeping with his wife. I mean, you can't have any sin if the law has been repealed. I mean, you can't have a violation of the Volstead Act after you have repealed prohibition, can you? So, he thought about that for a little bit, and he said, "That wouldn't be showing love to your neighbor." And I said, "Neighbor, I don't love you. I love your wife, and she's the one I want to sleep with." Now, he paused for another 10 or 15 seconds, and he grudgingly conceded that, well, that law hasn't been done away with. So I turned around and I put a minus 1 under that 759, and then I wrote the sum 758. See how simple that was? I said, "Okay, well, out of 759 laws, we have one law that is still in force and effect. Thou shalt not commit adultery." Now, remember, he's sitting there taping this. He's got his boombox on, and so I thought, well, let's test another law here. So I reached over. Now, this thing is plugged into the wall. And I just reached over and I took the cord and I just yanked it right out of the wall. Chunk. So now he's not tape recording. I picked up his tape recorder and I looked him right in the eyeball. He was just shocked that I would do that. But he was just shocked, and I looked him right in the eyeball and I said, "Mine." And he was so shocked as I picked up his tape recorder. I mean, I picked it up, and then I took it, and I said, "Mine." And he blurted out. He was shocked. He blurted out, that's my tape recorder." You know, you'd be pretty shocked, too, if I just reached over and snatched your cell phone, you know, and said, "Mine," stuck it in my pocket. I'd have stuck it in my pocket, but it was so damn big, you know, you almost needed a moving truck to haul it out of there. So anyway, I looked back at him when he said, "That's my tape recorder," and I very sternly said, "No, it isn't. The law that says thou shalt not steal has been abolished and nailed to the cross with Jesus. And what we're practicing here, pilgrim, is from each according to his ability and to each according to his need. Now, you have a tape recorder. I do not have a tape recorder. I have a need for a tape recorder, and you have the ability to fulfill my need. So I'm just going to take your tape recorder. But it's not a theft, so don't call the police and report me as stealing your tape recorder. Because there is no thou shalt not steal law. Is there? Now, can you tell me what's wrong with that?" Now, he thought about that for about 5 or 10 seconds, and he said, "Well, that law hasn't been done away with either." So I turned around and I wrote minus 1 under the 758. And then I drew a line, and then I drew up a sum of 757. And I said, "Sir, there are 759 of these laws in the scripture. And I can go through each and every one of those, and it takes me 42 hours to do that. And I think I can show you, just like these two laws here, that every one of these laws is in full force and effect today." Now, that's where I left the conversation, because I didn't want to spend 42 hours going through the Mosaic Law, because we were going to spend about 30 hours going through the 46 lessons that we deal with in tax and status. And beside that, break time was about over, and it was time to come back to class. But now here's the moral to the story. People actually believe that the Ten Commandments are abolished and done away with. But out in the real world, when you go out and commit adultery, you know, just tear off a little, you know, with your neighbor's girlfriend or his wife, they get real mad and upset about that. I can tell you from personal experience. I mean, I don't deny it. I was out here wing-dinging other people's wives, and I noticed right off the bat that when they found out about it, they weren't happy about it at all. They didn't believe that that law was done away with. Or if they did, they sure as hell didn't agree with it. Now, I've stolen quite a bit in my lifetime. I'm a pretty good thief. I'm not the world's best, but you know, I'm fair to middling thief. And I noticed that when I stole from people, none of those people appreciated my thefts at all. They were not impressed with my cleverness and my ability to steal and not get caught. And so my conclusion was that do unto others as you'd have them do unto you probably did in fact have some merit, because I didn't want anybody dinging my wife, and I didn't want anybody stealing my television or my car. So I kind of figured that probably the average Joe Sixpack doesn't want me dinging his wife and doesn't want me stealing his tape recorder or something else. Now, as we go through this Ten Commandment law over here, you're going to find that each and every one of those laws, when I apply that law to you, you're going to sit there and say, "Oh, I don't want you to do that to me, but it's all right if I do that to you or somebody else." You know, like, "You shall do no murder." Now, nobody has a complaint about doing murder as long as we're doing it over in Afghanistan, and you're over there killing a bunch of foreigners and slant-eyed gooks in Vietnam. Now, when we come into your neighborhood and we start killing you, you know, then you start complaining a lot. You ever notice that? Killing's fine, as long as you're doing it to somebody else. But as soon as somebody suggests that we kill you, then all of a sudden, you want to practice the Ten Commandments. I know, boys and girls, I think we ought to practice what we preach, don't you?